Let's turn in God's Word this morning to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. We'll begin reading in chapter 4 at verse 13. And we'll read through chapter 5, verse 11. And the text that we expound this morning is verses 4, 5, and 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. To that point, we read God's holy and inerrant word. The text this morning is verses 4, 5, and 6. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Beloved of God, in this epistle, first epistle to the Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul is answering two questions that these new Gentile converts in Thessalonica had. Both of their questions had to do with the end times. Their first question was this: what about those believers who have died already before Jesus has come back the second time? Have they missed out on the kingdom of Jesus Christ? And their second question was, when is Jesus going to come back? Some of these saints in Thessalonica had quit their jobs already in expectation of the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's going to come back in a few weeks, isn't he? A few months, maybe. When is he going to come back? The Apostle Paul is dealing with that second question about Christ coming back here in chapter 5 of the epistle. In the last part of chapter 4 that we read, he dealt with that first question. If the saints die before Christ comes back, what happens to them. He instructs them that they will be raised from the dead when Christ returns. They have not missed out on the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now in chapter 5, he answers the second question. In answer, the apostle does not give every single detail concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. But the Thessalonians, and we too, do not need to know every single detail. The Lord Jesus has given us signs of His coming. And we are called, the apostle says, to watch for those signs and to be aware that those signs are being displayed in the events going on around us right now. But the apostle instructs the Thessalonians and us too that we must not watch in such a way that we sell all our possessions and quit our job and just lift our faces up to the sky until He comes back, but in such a way that we are in this world, but not of this world. We do not know exactly when He is going to come. In fact, Jesus said the angels in heaven do not know when He is coming back. The Lord did say this, "As the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The Son of Man will come back when the cup of iniquity is full in this world, when the times are similar to the days before the flood, where God looked out and said, 'Every thought of man's heart is only evil continually.'" Therefore, because that is true, the apostle in verse 1 also says, "The coming of Christ is like the coming of a thief into the night. He comes into the dark night of sin and evil in the world." He'll come at the time when the night of spiritual darkness has expressed itself in the fullest possible way in the world. And he'll come into that night like a thief that comes in the darkness. The unbelieving world, at least, Christ's coming will be quick and it will be sudden. It will be like a lightning bolt that comes out of nowhere, something that they least expected, for they were not watching for the second coming of Christ. But for the Christian, the Apostle Paul says, he must watch, so that Christ's coming is not like a thief in the night. It's not supposed to be like a thief in the night for you. And for me, if the homeowner knew that the thief was coming at some point, he would watch and wait. So the Christian, though he does not know the exact day or the exact hour, must live his life watching spiritually, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that that day not come to him as a surprise, as a thief in the night. It's a new year, 2013. We are 1 year closer to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the beginning of this new year, it is appropriate that we are exhorted to watch for that return of our blessed Savior, exhorted to teach our children to watch for His return, so that when Christ comes back, we might find His bride ready, waiting, expectantly watching for His glorious return. Watching as children of the light is the theme here. Let's notice first the command, second the reason, third the result. Watching as children of the light, the command, the reason, and the result. The Apostle Paul presents the world here in the text, the world in the time in between Christ's first coming and His second coming, as sleeping and drunk. In verse 6, the apostle says, "Let us not sleep as others do," and those others are the unbelieving world. And then, in contrast to our calling to be spiritually sober, the apostle says in verse 7, that those in the night get drunk in the night, talking about the world. They are asleep and they are drunk. The world is spiritually like a person sleeping at night, totally unaware of anything that is going on around him. A sleeping person could be in danger at night, but as long as he is asleep, He has no idea that that danger is right around him. There could be a thief with him in the house as he sleeps, robbing him blind as he sleeps. But he has no idea that that is even taking place, for he is sleeping. So too the world is spiritually asleep. They are indifferent to the spiritual realities that are right around them and the truths that are right around them. Their eyes are closed to the things of God. Their eyes are closed to an understanding of what is going to happen to them in the future if they remain spiritually asleep. You can even show them from God's Word what has been the coming of Christ and what will shortly come to pass in the future. And they can even know something about that with their mind and understand what the Word is saying. But apart from God's grace, they refuse to believe it. They are spiritually asleep. The same is true of the unbelieving child that grows up in the Church of Jesus Christ. He sits next to the others in church, in catechism class. He grows up amongst the people of God. He is taught the exact same things, but he is spiritually asleep. He knows of Christ coming to judge the world. He probably can even tell you some of those signs of Christ coming. But it does not matter that much to him. He does not believe it. It's not of a concern to him. He's asleep, unless God wakes him from his spiritual slumber. The world, the unbelieving, are asleep spiritually. But the unbelieving world is also drunk, the apostle says. Drunk. The drunk man cannot function. He cannot even walk straight. Everything in his life is an absolute mess. He's not in control of his own faculties, even. But if you ask the drunk man about these things, they'll tell you that everything is just fine. Never been better. You tell him he can't drive because he is drunk, and he says, "Sure, I can drive. I'm fine. Everything is fine." So too, the unbelieving world. Having rejected the truths of God's Word, the world is in a drunken stupor spiritually. The world twists everything that God has laid down concerning life in the midst of this world. The world hardly even functions. So has it turned its back upon God. All you have to do is look at the home lives of the unbelieving in the world. It's rare to find people in the world that even grow up in a functional home. It's an absolute mess. Sexual perversion destroys our society, and not only ours, but the societies of the world. The consequences of sin come upon that world, but in their drunken state, they do not even realize it and realize that they are heading for the day of judgment, the rejection of Christ. And the world reveals the depravity of their heart. They spin their wheels, but they never find solutions to any of their issues or problems. Yet they refuse to look to Jehovah God and His Christ, as we saw with Belshazzar last night. But if you ask them, they don't see it that way. They believe they are just fine. They are the enlightened ones on the earth. They are not drunk. They are the wise. They are not the drunks. The young people of the congregation who sit in classrooms of the colleges of the day. If you say that you believe that the Bible is word for word the Word of God, that the first part of the book of Genesis gives a true, literal account of what God has done in the creation of His world, those wise men of the world will look at you as though you are drunk. And it can be tempting sometimes for the young people of the congregation to think that God is wrong here in His description of the world. My professors don't seem drunk. They come with great intellectual knowledge and intellectual speech. And as long as they have you in a classroom where no one that is themselves learned and knows their folly is there, they speak to the young people as though they are gods themselves. But the irony, young people, you must know, is that professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And in spite of all of their knowledge and all of their trust in science and reason to save them, the Lord Christ is going to come back one day. And it will be an utter shock to them, like a thief comes in the middle of the night. They are asleep and they are drunk in their own pride. The Apostle Paul calls the church to be different. He calls her, in contrast to the sleeping world, to watch, to be awake spiritually. He calls her, in contrast to the spiritually drunk world, to be sober spiritually. In verse 6, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. We must watch, the Apostle Paul says, because we know He is coming back one day. He is. But we must also watch because we don't know exactly when He's coming back one day. If we knew exactly the day and the hour of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, we probably wouldn't live a life of watching and waiting. We would at least be heavily tempted to live just like the world. And then when it got really close to the day and the hour when He comes back, then we would turn everything around and then we would be ready for Him to come. Part of the reason, you see, why God has not revealed to us the day and the hour of His return is so that we would have the urgency placed upon us to watch, to be awake, to be sober. Like a sentry of an army is on guard on the front lines of the battle, knowing that at some point the enemy is going to attack, but not knowing exactly when that attack will come, that sentry watches. He watches. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't get drunk there as he is watching. He is alert. He is looking. He looks for the signs of the enemy's approach. He listens for noises in the distance. He looks for flashes of light. And although the Church of Jesus Christ is not waiting for an enemy, but waiting for our friend and Redeemer, this is how we must live. We must watch. The exhortation to watch is an exhortation to live in the consciousness of His return. It's to live in such a way that we are aware of what is going on around us in this world, aware of the signs that Christ gave us in His Word that tell that He is coming, that are as footsteps to His return, and then watching to see those signs taking place in the world around us. To watch is to be aware of the fact that it is spiritually dusk in the world and will be pitch black of night soon. It's to be watching to what is happening with the nations of this world and how they are working more and more toward a one world government system. It's to be watching the increase in natural disasters that has occurred in the last few years, which is so blatantly obvious that even the secularists have commented on how the increase in all of these disasters is astounding. In this coming year, beloved, watch. Watch for the footsteps of the Lord and the events of the world that are around you. It has to be commanded to us. We must be exhorted in this, because to watch is a struggle. It's a struggle to not be lulled asleep by the spiritual bankruptcy of the world around us. It takes spiritual fortitude to be spiritually alert as one lives in the midst of this world, to stay spiritually awake. That's why in verse 6, when the apostle commands, let us watch, it's more literally, let us keep watching. Let us keep watching. Keep awake. Keep watching is the command. Continually battle that spiritual slumber. That sentry who is on the front lines who must watch. Even though he knows that the enemy is coming at some point, he still has to fight to stay awake, doesn't he? Even though he knows the enemy is coming and is going to attack at some point, he still has those heavy eyelids. He still naturally wants to close his eyes in the middle of the night that is around him. So too, every child of God must, by God's grace, fight against spiritual slumber. There is an old man of sin in you and in me that wants to close its eyes and let the darkness of the world simply overtake us so that we join with the world, unite with them in the darkness of slumber. And that old man that is in us is dangerous, because the world that is around us in the hands of the devil, under God's sovereign control, but given to the devil, works to tempt that old man, to lull that old man into sleep. Besides bringing the Lord Jesus Christ 1 year closer to His return, we understand, do we not, that the year 2007 will also bring lullabies. And the year 2013 will bring with it those little machines that have running water playing and make people fall asleep. It's going to bring with it soft, cushy pillows. It's going to bring with it a down comforter, all in an attempt to lull the church spiritually to sleep. There are going to be new situations in your life and in mine that we cannot perceive now that will provide the opportunity for us to compromise the faith. There are going to be temptations, men, to sell our souls to lust. There is going to be the general materialism of the age that has placed the church in a position where she can hardly keep her eyes open spiritually. She's made so fat and drowsy by the riches of this world. Watch. Be on guard. Be awake. Use the means that God has given to keep the church awake spiritually. The proclamation of the Word, Bible study, all of these things to remain watchful, awake. And be sober. Says the apostle, be sober in a drunken world. Keep watching and keep being sober, says the apostle in verse 6. The call to be sober is the call to moderation, to discipline, to self-control in the midst of this world. The drunk, you see, has no self-control. He does not care about moderation. He's lost all self-awareness in his excessive drink. And because of that, he can't watch, can he? If that sentry on the front lines is drunk, he cannot watch. But the sober sentry can watch. Therefore, in verse 6, the idea is this. Be sober in order that you might watch. Be sober so that you can watch. The Lord Jesus Christ explains it in Luke 21, verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. Don't be overcharged, overwhelmed with the cares of this life and this world, says the Lord Jesus Christ, lest you be so focused on this world and all of its things and all of its stuff that that day come upon you as a thief in the night. Don't be drunk with all of the money that this world has and all of its wealth and all of its pleasures. Be moderate, be disciplined, be self-controlled so that you're not taken over by these things and so that you can watch. Do not be put into a state of the grip of our heart upon the things of this world. we become tipsy with the desires and pursuits of this world, have a loose grip on the things of this earth. Be sober is the call to not have the same ideals that this world has, to not have the same priorities that this world has, to not listen to the world when it tells you this is how a person must live their life, this is what must be the priority in your life. Do you know, when the world says that priority number one is the pocketbook and the standard of living, and that absolutely everything in life must conform to that number one priority, do you know, beloved, that that is a drunk speaking to you? When the world, and even the church world that has been a little bit liquored up by the world, says that it's time to forsake the old paths theologically, it's time to forsake the Christian life as expounded in God's Word, do you realize that that's an alcoholic speaking to you? Spiritually drunk man? Who listens to a drunk giving advice? Drunks are repulsive. If you've ever seen a drunk, there's nothing attractive about him or her. So too, there should be absolutely nothing attractive about the worldview of unbelief in this world. It should be repulsive to us, their priorities and the way they live their life. Be sober, says the apostle. Learn how to handle your own life in this world properly, to live in this world, but not to be of this world, to have your money, but not to trust in it, to have your things, but with a loose grip, to be here, but to have your heart set there. That's the point of the text. That's how you live, remaining sober and therefore watching for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must remain sober and remain watching, says the apostle, together. Together. Watch and be sober together. There's something wonderful about the fact that we don't obey the command of the text alone. In verse 4, the apostle addresses the church together as brethren. Brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, those with a common Father, family united together, watching and being sober together. And then in verse 11, the apostle adds, "Wherefore, comfort ye yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." There is a collective aspect to this watching and this being sober, which is why it is so important to live your life in a true watching and sober church. People are easily influenced by those around them. We need a strong, true Church of Jesus Christ, strong body around us to watch with us, that together we not be lulled to sleep, that we might nudge each other if we are drifting off, that we might hold each other back when we've drunk in too much of the world. We are, many times, those who we are around. Commit yourselves to the church. Spend time with the church. Aid one another in watching and soberness. Comfort each other with the words of God. Edify one another. Watch together as the Church of Jesus Christ in 2013. And we're able to help each other and to watch together because the Apostle Paul says that the church is made up of children of the light and not children of darkness. But ye, brethren, verses 4 and 5, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. And the Apostle Paul says they are children of light and children of day. He's using a common Hebrew way of expressing belonging. Children who belong to the light, children who belong to the day. Lord Jesus uses that same expression when He calls the Pharisees the children of their father, the devil. They belong to the devil. And when He calls them sons of Belial, they are belonging to Belial. Here it is, children of the light. Children belonging totally to the light. This is who the child of God is. And this is who he must be. And this is why he must watch. And this is why he can watch. He is a child of the light. What is that light? The light is the Word of God, first of all. As light allows us to see what is really there around us. If you go in a room and turn on the light switch, it allows you to see what is around you. So the Word of Jehovah God is the light that allows us to see what is happening in this world around us. Being born again by the Spirit of regeneration, we have been given eyes to see that light. The light of the Word of God has shined in our hearts too, so that we are no more in darkness of this world, but in the light of the truth of God's holy Word. The light of the knowledge of God, the light of His truth, illuminates all things before the Church of Jesus Christ. With this light, you can see what is driving other people. You can see what motivates the worldviews behind what people do. You can see with this light what is coming in the future of this world as the Word of God speaks to it. Like that sentry on the front lines turns on a floodlight to light up what is before him, the Word of God allows the church to see what is coming in the future and the signs of the end. This light illuminates all things. But this Word of God, that is the light, not only illuminates, it makes pure. Like light is pure white radiance and extends that white radiance. So the child of God has been given the light of the purity of Jesus Christ in his heart through that Word. And that Word washes him in the purity of Jesus Christ so that he does not need to live in the darkness of spiritual filth anymore. The brightness of God's glory and truth shines in him by the Word. The child of God looks out at the world that is before him, therefore, and he's repulsed by it. For the purity of God's Word has formed him and fashioned him according to the image of Christ. He's not attracted to that darkness of the world. You belong to this light, says the Apostle Paul. You've been created in the light of the gospel so that you are possessed by it. You are owned by it. This is who you are. This is how you must identify yourself, of the light. You are children of the light and children of the day, the Apostle says. It seems like the same thing at first, child of the light and child of the day. But there is a distinction between child of the light and child of the day. The child of the light is child of the light precisely because he is a child of the day. Just like you have light during the daytime, precisely because it is daytime. So if the light is the truth of the Word of God, then the day that gives that light is Jesus Christ Himself, who gives that Word and truth. You are of Him. You belong to Him, who grants illumination and purity. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He has bought you, body and soul, with His precious blood. His righteousness is given to you, imputed in exchange for your unrighteousness. He is yours, and you are His. Notice that the Apostle Paul is preaching the gospel to the congregation this morning. You are children of the light. You are children of the day. Therefore, watch, and therefore, be sober. The Apostle does not say, Watch and be sober so that you may become children of the light and children of the day. But watch and be sober because you are without any merit of yours, only for the sake of the cross of Jesus Christ. You have been reborn in Jesus Christ and are awash in the light of His truth and word. Now go and live in 2013 as a child of that light and of that day. If you're of the day and not of the night, why would you slumber in 2013, says the text? Who sleeps during the day when the lights are on? And the lights are on for you, child of God. You're a child of the day. Don't be as though you were a child of the night. Are you living that way? Am I? The light of God's Word shining into every aspect of your home and mine. Are you intoxicated by the liquor of the world in some area in your life? Love His Word this year, beloved. Seek His Word, the light. Know that Word. Drink that Word in. Get rid of whatever it is that you see is lulling your family to sleep spiritually. Wake up! Sober up, child of God, is the message of the text. Watch. Be ready. For in that way, the result will be that the Lord Jesus Christ will come to an expectant people, longing, ready for His return. We are sons and daughters of the light and of the day. And we said that means we are sons and daughters of Christ and of His Word and truth that has been planted in our heart. Then don't you want to see the Christ who has made you that way? Don't you want Him to come back finding you expectantly waiting for His return, longing for His return? I've been using throughout this sermon the illustration of a sentry that is watching for the oncoming enemy troops. That's been helpful to this point. But now it's time to change that illustration a little bit. For as I said, we are not watching for an enemy. We are watching for the return of our Savior and beloved friend. A better illustration now, at the end of the sermon, is of a wife whose husband has been forced against his will to be gone for a long, long time. And a wife who does not know precisely the day or the hour of her husband's return. And that wife wakes up every day and wonders, is my husband going to come back today? She thinks about that. She watches and waits for that. And every day she goes and looks out the front window to see if he is walking up the drive to her. You are children of the light and children of the day. Watch for the bridegroom. Watch for the one who has rebirthed you in His light and truth. After all, He comes to bring us our full salvation. Verse 9, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you wait for that, beloved? Don't I? Aren't we expectantly looking for that when He comes to usher in our full salvation, to take us out of this world in which we are pilgrims and strangers? This world is not our home. We are passing through. What embarrassment if the wife who is waiting for her long lost husband to come home is caught flirting with someone else as he walks in the door. Our bridegroom is returning. His return should not overtake us as a thief in the night. He should not have to find us flirting with the world when He returns. Let us watch with our face pressed against the window. For He comes. He comes. There are many New Year's wishes that are passed around this time of year in the world. One of the most common in the world is to wish someone health and success in the coming year. Our New Year's wishes in the church ought to be a little bit different. Let's try this one. In the coming year, may we be a sober people, watching for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we live in light, for we are children of the light, children of the day, and He is coming to take us home. Amen. Father, wilt Thou grant that in the year that lies ahead, we may be found watching and waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, sober and not drunk of the things of this world, living as children, who long to see their Father, living as a bride, longs to see her Bridegroom and to be with Him forever. In Christ's name do we pray. Amen.